Attention all passengers. The Uber ride for Mark and Jamal's romantic weekend will depart in 4 minutes from Platform 6. Your ride comes with a rolling countryside sunset view and a table seat ideal for playing footsie beneath. Thank you for booking your tickets on Uber.
Trains on Uber.
If you're constantly drained and overgiving and still saying yes, you don't have a time problem, you have a boundary problem. And I think this is something that so many people struggle with, including myself. How do we set boundaries? What are boundaries? Why are we not setting them? And how is it affecting our energy, our relationships, and our life when we don't have a good grasp on our personal boundaries? Kalmany Wood is back, and she specializes in emotional resilience, self-worth, and helping people stop overgiving and start showing up for themselves in a powerful way. And she's here today to talk to us about boundaries. So, Kalmany, it's so good to see you again. I got your name right this time.
You did, and I'm so excited to be here with you. I love our conversation.
Yeah, they're always so enlightening. And important. I hear people all the time saying, set your boundaries, set your boundaries, set your boundaries, but they're so challenging. Can we just maybe define what is a boundary?
Yes, I think that's a great place to start. So the way that I define a boundary is deciding what works for me versus what does not, if we were to make it as simple as possible. So it's not even about the other person. It's really with ourselves. What works for me in X situation, what does not work for me, right? So we can look at different life domains too. So when we're thinking about different types of boundaries, we might have financial boundaries, we might have material boundaries, we might have sexual boundaries, we might have mental boundaries, right? Like what can you say to me? What can you not say to me? So there's different ways that we can look at it. But at the end of the day, boundaries are really about saying, yes, this is okay. No, this is not okay.
Right. And that can be so hard because we want to make everybody happy. You know, I know for me, that's what makes it difficult. When I'm in my gut, I'm like, oh, I really don't feel like doing this, but I know that someone else is counting on me, or they want me to do something. And then I always overstep my own boundaries, and then I get exhausted from it.
Well, yeah, because I think we're all fighting this, we naturally don't want to disappoint people. We don't want other people to be upset, or to be not just upset with us, but just upset in general, right? We don't want to be the reason that somebody's upset. And I think that's one of the biggest hurdles when we're learning to set boundaries, is recognizing we are ultimately not responsible for someone else's feelings. At the end of the day, if we continue to do something and we don't honor our boundaries, what's actually going to happen is resentment with that person might actually grow, which is going to pull us further and further apart, rather than doing the thing that we really want, which is stay connected to this person, right? And so it's this, what happens is we look short term, where it's like, oh, I don't want them to be disappointed. But we're not looking at the long term, is if I continue to push my boundaries, I don't set them, I continue to overgive and overfunction, long-term, that relationship connectivity actually ends up suffering.
Right. So then what do people get wrong about boundaries?
Well, I do think that a lot of people think that boundaries are these walls, right? Like, I'm like pushing you away. And we're not. I mean, the best metaphor that I have used is they're like fences, right? Our boundaries are like fences. Fences, we can, you know, there's little doors, right? We can open and close it. We can move a fence. We can see through a fence, right? It's not this, I'm here and you're there and we're totally separate from each other. It's just kind of drawing this line to say, this works for me and this doesn't work for me. The other thing that I think people do struggle with, though, is when they're setting a boundary, they make it about the other person. Like, you can't do this. That's not what a boundary is. A boundary is, this thing works for me, this other thing does not. And then allowing the other person to choose how they want to respond to that. But you're deciding for yourself what you're going to put up with and what you're not.
Right, right. And I sometimes find like it confusing, because sometimes I'll have a certain boundary with one situation or person, but then the same situation arises with someone else in a different situation, and I don't feel the same way. So,
Right.
like, boundaries are like fluid, like you said, they can be different all the time. But I think, like, when I think of boundaries in a general way, I think like this is the way and that's it. But I don't think that's the right way to look at it.
Yeah, I think that's what we get stuck, or we're like, it's one way and it has to always be that one way. To your point, I mean, even sometimes with the same person, the boundary's gonna shift, right? Like you might
Yeah.
have a boundary with somebody and then time happens, things shift a little bit, and maybe that boundary also shifts. So it's not a one and done type thing.
Right, 100%. And I also think people confuse boundaries with like controlling other people or being
Yes.
selfish, right? And that's not the right way to look at it.
Yeah, and you know, I mentioned, you know, I think sometimes people try to control the other person, like you can do this and you cannot do this. That's not
Right.
exactly what a boundary is. A boundary is saying, this, again, this works for me, this does not, and then allowing the other person to choose how they're going to behave and how they're going to respond to that. But the other thing that you just mentioned, which is really important, I think people really struggle with setting boundaries because there's this misnomer and around the idea that it's selfish, that I'm being mean, I'm being unkind. And again, I go back to, and I'm repeating this, and I'm not saying that this is easy work, because I too still continue to work on boundaries as a recovering people pleaser. It is something that I absolutely continue to work on, but it's really important to remind ourselves that it's actually a selfful action to set the boundaries, because when we do that, we are enabling ourselves to be in a place where we are feeling aligned with ourselves, and we're also not draining our energy. And what that does then is it allows us to show up more fully in those relationships, right? So if we were being selfish, it's actually like maybe even more selfish not to set the boundary, because at the end of the day, we're actually detracting from that relationship, because what we're doing is we're inadvertently potentially raising resentment, frustration, anger, and then it chips away at that connectivity.
So it's like the unspoken things that we're not saying. We're holding it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then it's weird that we like put it on the other person. Meanwhile, we're in full control of what we do.
Absolutely. We forget that
Oh.
we are in full control of the choices that we make.
For sure. So how is this tied to people pleasing or fear of rejection?
I think it's really, I mean, it's deeply embedded together and enmeshed together, right? So with people pleasing, I refer to people pleasing as a survival pattern, right? It's the you know, either fear of conflict, fear of abandonment, fear of things just not being okay, somebody being upset. And so when that's our driving narrative, right, we are avoiding that at all costs. The idea of saying no to somebody or letting them know that something does not work for you is really scary, because what we're up against is that survival pattern. The nervous system actually is terrified that we're not going to be okay. And so it's really important for us to do the work on that survival pattern, where it's like, where we recognize, like, it is okay. It's okay to say no to somebody. I'm still going to be here. The world is still going to be spinning. And we do the work to start restoring this idea that we're responsible for somebody else's feelings about their disappointment, their frustration. And so it's almost like it's work that we do together, working on the people pleasing as well as working on speaking up and saying, yes, this works for me, or no, this does not.
Right, 100%. Where does these patterns start? Like, where do we develop these patterns?
I think a lot of us develop them when we're younger. I do think also, though, some of us develop them through relationships that we have, even through teenage years, adolescence, as well as into adulthood, right? You know, I work with individuals who, you know, maybe didn't have some of these patterns of not being able to set these boundaries until they were maybe in the workplace environment, and they were in a workplace environment that was more of a toxic dynamic, perhaps, right? Or they weren't able to speak. There wasn't any psychological safety to speak up or to speak their opinion about something. And so they just over time started to lose the confidence in being able to speak up. Sometimes as adults, we get into unhealthy relationships where you end up finding yourself shrinking and shrinking and shrinking. And so you don't have the boundaries. I think for many of us, though, going back to what I originally said, many of us, this starts early on, and just, and again, it's not from a trauma necessarily. It could just be from experiences we've had, how we internalize messages, and, you know, we just learned, just, keep saying yes. Because, and also when you think about it from a social perspective, we're taught to be kind, we're taught to be nice, but we're not really taught that being kind and nice can also include maybe not saying, maybe it's okay to say no, or it's okay to not overgive if you don't have it within your capacity. You don't have to keep bending over backwards to be a good, nice person.
Yeah, it's so tied to our safety, right? Like, we don't, it's like the choice to rock the boat, per se, right? Like,
Yes.
whenever I feel like, oh man, I really don't want to do this. And then there's a group of people like waiting for me to answer. And I'm like, oh, do I rock the boat or do I go or do I just go with the flow and be easygoing? What happens when someone has no boundaries? And what happens if someone constantly just overrides their gut instincts?
I really think that that's when the loss of self occurs, right? We lose connection to our own needs, our own wants and desires, and that's why I say it's self-abandonment that eventually happens with the lack of boundaries. We end up losing the ability to identify what it is we even want in a situation, what even is okay versus not okay. It becomes almost the norm if just, I always say yes, and people also get used to that, right? They get used to you always saying yes. And so that becomes the pattern in practice.
Is there a relation to burnout and boundaries?
100%. Yes. Because when we don't have boundaries, right, we're continuing to add on to our plate. And the other thing that happens without boundaries, and this I haven't talked a lot about, is when we continue to give and give and give, what ends up happening is a lot of us start to feel unseen, right? Because we're giving, the others are taking, but then we lose this sense of mattering. And when we don't feel like we matter, that also is a contributing factor to burnout. I know we talk a lot about burnout being in relation to being overscheduled and just not having a lot of time, but there are other contributing factors to burnout, one of which is mattering, one of which is feeling part of the community, one of which is feeling like your contribution has a positive effect. And so without boundaries, we're just giving and giving and giving, doing and doing and doing, and there's not a whole lot of reciprocation.
Totally. Yeah. I can think back to many times in my past, especially when I was younger, where I kept doing, and not being acknowledged for it, and just feeling like I was shrinking. And like, I was like, why am I even here? Does anyone even know I'm here? Right? Like, you lose that sense of importance or purpose.
Yes. And I will say that some of and I don't want to make this gender specific, but I know that the some of my clients who are moms, they've definitely reflected that to me. If moms and moms who work out of the home, meaning, they that's their primary objective is to maintain the home, which is amazing. And then also those who are managing careers, both have shared with me the doing, and they don't feel like they're also being acknowledged, and they are burnt out. They're burnt out because they're not being acknowledged in all that they're maintaining and contributing. And I'm not saying fathers don't have it as well. I'm just saying I've heard it multiple times from the clients who are moms that I work with.
Yeah, well, I mean, women are so complex and we have so many different hats, right? And I'm not saying men aren't, but I just feel like we have a lot of stuff stacked kind of against us as challenges with our bodies and our hormones too. And we just have different needs for sure. In terms of guilt though, like I know when I start setting boundaries, it can feel really uncomfortable. Why does that happen?
Because we're still dealing with the narrative. I believe, in my opinion, we're still dealing with the narrative that we're doing something wrong, right? We're doing something wrong. And also, oh gosh, somebody's upset and we're still taking responsibility for their feelings. And so we it gets translated internally into I've done something wrong. And that's what guilt is I've done something wrong and I need to somehow apologize for it or something like that. And so when we're setting boundaries and we have those moments of guilt, that's so important to slow down, take that pause, and to really ask what's really true here. What's really true is I've just set a boundary that's healthy for me. The person that I've set this with is having an adverse reaction to it. and that's their responsibility. I still love them and I have compassion for the fact that they are upset, but I don't have to apologize for anything. I didn't do anything wrong here. And that's how you start breaking down those feelings of guilt.
Right. I know, like, when I've set boundaries in the past, like, I've kind of over explained myself, and that didn't feel good either. So I was like, I still feel like I'm giving away my power. How do we balance that? Like, if someone is really uncomfortable with our boundary setting, but it's the right thing to do for us, what is enough? And should we over give? Like, how do we deal with that situation?
Yeah. What you just said, I think, is spot on, right? I think those of us who struggle with boundaries, then we over explain them. We keep talking and we keep adding more information as to why we said something. And honestly, I think it's about, and it's not going to happen overnight, but it's working on stating the boundary and then stop, right? Like, just stop and take a breath, because that over explaining is the guilt almost coming up, right? It's the guilt that's showing up. It's like, oh, let me give you even more information as to why I can't do this. And the truth is we don't have to. We don't have to continue to explain why something doesn't work for us. It's enough to say, hey, that's not going to work for me.
Yeah, because that's, the issue is not on us. It's on the other person. And yeah, it's just, it can be difficult when you're first starting to set these, for sure.
And I absolutely want to highlight that. I think, you know, a lot of people talk about set boundaries, but we're not really saying, and it's not going to be the easiest thing that we do. It's going to be uncomfortable. But also, when we're uncomfortable is the moments that we're also growing. We're also expanding, right? We don't grow when we're super comfortable. And I'm not trying to pop toxic positivity. It's the way it is, right? We grow through those uncomfortable moments. That's when we're expanding into a place that we're not normally in.
Totally. And I think, like you said, like before, it strengthens the relationship we have with other people, and it adds more of like a respect.
Yes.
So for me, like, I remember situations where people who have been super quiet have finally spoken up, and then I just saw them differently. Like, it's like I saw them in a different light. And then I was like, oh my gosh, like, I see you. And now I kind of want to know more about you. Right. There's so much, I don't know, I even want to use their sexy. Like, it's really sexy when someone's so sure of themselves and they know what they want and they just do it. And they don't care what anyone else thinks. Like, they do something because they want to do something, not because of the pressures of anybody else. Like, I just think it's like a really great quality.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, it is. It is kind of sexy. It's like, oh, that's super attractive.
So totally.
But in terms of relationships, I mean, even as a parent, I think, you know, I get to work with parents, you know, when we have boundaries with our kids, but also our adult children, as we move and transition into having adult children, it shapes the relationship and allows it to grow in such a different way and expand in such a different way. So it's really important. It's not, I get it. It's scary. I don't want to minimize it, but it's also such an amazing opportunity to deepen our own self-confidence, as you were mentioning, as well as that connection with the other person.
Totally. So what does a boundary actually sound like? Can you give us some examples?
No.
There you go.
There it is. No, I mean, some boundaries are, it doesn't have to be even harsh. It's just simply like, oh, you know, I'd love to, but that's not going to work for me today. Or, you know, I've had to deal with this with invitations to things that just, I, my schedule won't allow it. And it just simply, thank you. I really appreciate the opportunity. Unfortunately, I can't, I just don't have the availability right now. That's a boundary, right? It doesn't have to be harsh. I think that's also a misnomer, is that it's going to come across as super mean. It doesn't have to be mean. And even in the ones that I just gave you, I wasn't over explaining. I was just giving a little bit of context and just leaving it at that, versus, you know, going off and to say like, well, I've got this and this and this scheduled for the next 2 weeks. And that would be my guilt talking, versus just simply saying, oh, I'd love to, and unfortunately my schedule doesn't allow it right now.
Right. Even when before we started the episode, you made me aware that you had a client at the top of the hour. So you said, I have to be off at this certain time. And I think that's That's an example of a small boundary, right? Just being open about what you need.
Absolutely. And in that, the hope too is then I am building that rapport with you, right? So that then there's trust being built because now you
Yes.
know where I'm at. And then it's not this abrupt, hey, I gotta go, which feels awkward and not, it doesn't feel good when somebody just
Yeah.
bails at the last minute, right? So that happens routinely with meetups, like coffees and stuff. It's, I would let, you know, I'm so excited to be here. And also, I do have to leave at this time. Now the expectation is known. Nobody gets disappointed. Nobody feels abandoned when the person, when it's time to leave.
Right. So what happens to confidence and energy when we have boundaries and we stick to them?
I think you and I, as we were chatting, I think our own confidence grows because what we're doing is
Mm-hmm.
we're reconnecting to self, right? We're reconnecting to our own needs and we're seeing ourselves because with mattering, we also need to know that we matter. We need to have that internally as well, right? So when we're setting boundaries and we're honoring them, we're showing up more fully, first of all, but we're aligned with ourselves. And when that happens, how we see ourselves naturally is going to elevate. So our confidence is going to grow. Our self-esteem is going to grow.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. What are some takeaways that the audience can take away from today in terms of maybe some tips on how to start developing boundaries and what to do in the tough times when you start developing them and you feel kind of disconnected?
Well, a couple things. One, I would say the very first place to start is to check in with yourself in terms of, you know, how often am I saying yes, but really what I wanted to say is no. Just start there, right? Because we need some awareness of where that's happening. Because some of us are really good with certain people, but then not with others. So just building that awareness is step one. The second thing is sometimes it's easier to start smaller rather than jumping in with a very large boundary. So if it is, if you notice like a single person that you're really struggling with is there a small boundary that I can start with so I can start building that muscle, right? Growing into it. And then it is about having self-compassion because part of this is being kind to yourself over judgment as you're starting to set boundaries. There'll be moments where you're going to catch it later and you're going to say, oh my gosh, I should have set a boundary. And it's not about putting yourself down at that point. It's about, again, self-compassion. Okay, this is hard. This isn't easy. When I've been in a pattern of overgiving and overfunctioning, it's going to be a challenge to reset and to start saying and setting these boundaries. So we lean into what can I do differently next time versus let me beat myself up over this.
Right, 100%. Those are great tips. Can we go back on our boundaries? Like, what if I said yes and then later realized I wanted to say no? How do we handle that situation?
That is such a great question because we absolutely can go back and say, on reflection or after I looked at my schedule, I realized this won't work. I know I had originally committed to this. Unfortunately, I won't be able to do it. It would keep it simple. It's still loving and compassionate, but we also don't overexplain.
Right. And I also feel like there's been times where I don't even know that I have a boundary until the situation happens. And then I feel almost like, oh, I shouldn't have let that happen. And so I think it's important that sometimes we don't even know what our boundaries are until we go through something.
And I think that's a really great point. And again, that's how we learn, right? We go through it and it's like, oh, yeah, I do have a boundary around that. Now I know for next time.
Right, 100%. And as parents too, I think it's so valuable for our children to see us standing in our power, you know, and not, I mean, I grew up and I just let everybody walk all over me. I just wanted to blend in and just do what I was told and work hard. And that didn't serve me well, you know, like I missed out on opportunities because I was just super easygoing. So it was, yeah, it's definitely a learning process and not an easy task. And I think boundaries is something that everybody struggles with on a constant basis. Especially it's like, you know, I remember saying yes to one person and no to another, and then asking myself, why did I do that? You know, like there's so many different factors involved in in life and boundaries for sure.
Yes. And again, I think it's context. I think sometimes in certain contexts, we feel totally at ease with setting a boundary, and then other contexts we don't. And it's about being curious, staying curious with yourself of like, okay, that's interesting. Here I'm totally fine with it, but here I'm not. What's different about this situation over here?
Mm-hmm. How do we heal if someone crosses a boundary? Like, how do we let that go? What are some tips that you can give people to maybe who just feel taken advantage of? Like, you could feel unwell in the body. So how do we take care of that?
You're absolutely right. We feel unwell in the body, and we feel, I think there's a sense of betrayal that happens too, especially if we've communicated the boundary and then that person has not respected the boundary. And it really is about, it's about leaning into the compassion of self and then also not suppressing it. I'm a true believer in, you know, we need to acknowledge what's going on for us. It's not to sit in it. I'm not saying we sit in victimhood, but in order to work through something, we need to acknowledge that that's what's happened, right? Like, I'm feeling grief. I'm feeling really sad. I'm feeling hurt. And what are all those things telling me? Those things are telling me that I have a value of fill in the blank, or I have a need of fill in the blank. And acknowledge, like, that really is terrible that this person treated me that way. And it's almost like a re-self commitment, a re-honoring of self, where it's, and I'm going to continue to discern that the people that I let into my world respect my boundaries, and I can just love myself through this process of feeling this hurt and this grief.
Right. 100%. And I think it's important to note that also people they're acting in the way that they're acting because of where they're at internally. And so I really try and tell myself not to take things personally, and to have an understanding at a deep level that that person's doing the best they can with what they've been dealt. And that's not an excuse to treat someone poorly, but it's just a reality. Like, I think a lot of people take things maybe a little too personally at times, and we don't look to see the situation like from a full view. So I think it's just important that most things aren't about us. Right. As much as we think it is, like, we think we're in our own movies, and we think everything is about us because that's what the ego tells us. But really, nobody is really worried about us. And I think we overcomplicate things for ourselves.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And it is, it's one of the, four agreements, right? Not to take things personally. Don Miguel Ruiz, I believe, yeah. Which is, it's really, I mean, it is true. Cause, and you're right. I think we do make everything about ourselves, and not like, I'm not saying it to say we're all egotistical maniacs, but it's to just say we get caught up in that story. And really, truly, when somebody does cross that boundary and it's hurtful, it is just, okay, let me take care of myself and what I need. And like, let me actually work through this rather than focusing on, oh my gosh, I can't believe the person did that. And cause it makes it all about them. And again, to your point, we don't know what's going on in their world. And it's not about, we don't control that either. So we come back to, what do I have ownership of? And I have ownership of how I choose to respond now.
Yeah, 100%. So Kalamani, tell everybody more about the work that you do.
Well, I work with high achievers. I work with individuals on really, I help them spot their own survival patterns, right? Like people pleasing, overfunctioning, perfectionism, those are actually survival patterns. We work on spotting them, naming them, becoming aware, and then breaking those down into how they can actually move forward through different narratives and different patterns for themselves, whether it's professionally or personally.
Amazing. Tell us more about where people can find you and what your ideal client is.
I am on the web at kalamaniwood.com, and then social media, Instagram and Facebook with the handle It's Authentic Me. In terms of my ideal client, it really is individuals who are ready to do the work, first of all, right? Because the work that I do takes some self-reflection and some commitment to doing that work. But it is really individuals who have found themselves stuck, burnt out, really feeling like they're on autopilot, running from this place of these survival patterns that I mentioned, and then working through those with each other in terms of shifting things, as I mentioned, personally or professionally.
Do you have any client stories you want to share with us?
I have so many client stories, but I would say that some of the clients that I have really seen huge transformations with are my clients who have really found themselves stuck in that overextending people pleasing mentality where they found themselves shrinking and not using their voice. And then the work that we do together allows them to learn things like boundaries, but also it gives them space because I really do pride myself on creating this a space of psychological safety, right? Where they can take a look at these things without worry about shame or being judged. And when you have that space, so much opens up because you're able to see how you've been showing up and you're able to see patterns and mindset patterns, behavior patterns, all types of patterns. And so the clients that I've been able to do amazing work with have been able to spot those things like, oh my gosh, look, one of my clients just recently recognized that her fawning response is the thing that's running the show in all of her relationships. And just that awareness and then breaking that down with each other of how do we shift that, huge changes in her relationship with her daughter, who's a teenager, and then also with her spouse, which is amazing to me.
Yeah, it must be so rewarding for sure. And I love that you said they have to be able to like show up and do the work. Do you think this type of work can be done alone?
You know, it can be done alone if you're willing to really push yourself, but it's harder. It's harder because when you have somebody with you, I mean, most of us, having a witness and having somebody, again, somebody who's going to acknowledge you and that you know you matter, it feeds the soul in a way that you're able to do the harder work. You're able to look at things. And then also having somebody with you who can reflect back to you things that not just that you're saying, but just reflect, behavior patterns back to you. It allows you to see it in a different way, which allows huge shifts to happen. I mean, I tell people like I have my own coach. Why? Because I think, to be a great coach, you got to do your own work too, right? And I think that it's such valuable work that we can do for ourselves because when we lean into that personal development, we grow and evolve, and then we have the ability to have our relationships grow and evolve and evolve.
Yeah, and the work we do on ourselves helps us, but it also helps everybody else around us too. Because the more we grow, the more we can help other people and connect them back to themselves. I'm a true believer that it does take a community. I tried so hard because I'm so stubborn and independent to do everything on my own. And while I still get stuck in those patterns, having a coach, having a mentor, having someone walk with me through the fire has been life-changing and allowing that. And I think it's important for people to allow themselves to receive. Because when it came down to it, that was my biggest issue is like allowing people to help me because I felt like I should be able to handle it on my own. So, yeah, I think people really need to just be easy on themselves and allow other people like you to come into their life and help them through things. Because we all, like you said, need a therapist. Like, I could literally talk to someone every day. Like, there's always stuff that comes up, and it's just normal. It's normal life.
It's normal life. It's normal life to end. I often say it's, I'm a thought partner and we all, and people will say, well, I have a spouse for that. Yes. And also sometimes it's not your spouse's role or healthy for your spouse to be the person who's unpacking certain things with you. Like sometimes it's better to have that third party who can hold that space, safe, confidential space in order to work through those things. And your spouse gets to be your spouse.
Yeah, 100%. They can't. Yeah, I made that mistake before too. Oh my gosh, that my partner was my everything, but boy, was I wrong. So, Kalmany, it's been amazing talking to you. I just think the work that you're doing is amazing, and you have such great energy, and it's wonderful that you're helping so many people. I know you've been through a lot, like we all have, but to turn that around and now give back to the community as you are is so beautiful to see. So thank you for being here today and for this amazing conversation.
Thank you. It's been awesome to be here with you.
And to our audience, thank you so much for being here today. We will make sure to have Kalmany's information in the show notes. You can check out her website and more about the work that she does. And remember, boundaries aren't selfish. They're the reason that you feel drained. Building them is not a bad thing. It's actually going to help you thrive. And like we talked about today, it's going to help in every aspect of your life. If this episode resonated with you, amazing. If you feel like it could benefit somebody else, please send it to them. And so they too can start building their own boundaries. Stay tuned for the next episode, everyone. Bye.
Security program on spreadsheets, new regulations piling up, an audit dread. It's time for Vanta. Vanta automates security and compliance, brings evidence into one place, and cuts audit prep by 82%. Less manual work, clearer visibility, faster deals, zero chaos. Call it compliance or call it calmpliance. Get it? Join the 15,000 companies using Vanta to prove trust. Get started at vanta.com/calm.